Good morning. We welcome you in worship this morning, or if you're joining us online, we worship you as well. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Do you know there are some traditions around St. Patrick's, wearing of the green and shamrocks and all those sorts of things, but do you know what it means? Richard, you're wearing the green today. Do you know what it means when you, if you're walking across a field and you find a horseshoe on St. Patrick's Day? It means that somewhere there's a poor little horsey going barefoot. It's a terrible thing. You just got to find the horse. Never mind. Okay. By way of announcements, welcome all. We want to make sure that you are aware that we are approaching Holy Week. This is the, which Sunday of Lent is this? Fifth Sunday of Lent. How many of you have been keeping close track? Not a lot of hands going up there with some of us, all right. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. And during Holy Week, the week between Palm Sunday and Easter, we will celebrate Tenebrae on Friday. It is a service of song and scripture and lights and darkness. So if you are able on Good Friday to join us at 7 p.m. here. So I want to make you aware of that. Special thanks this morning to Debbie Burns over here. Debbie is in the guise of Alec, who is filling in for her. So we are thankful that that is going on. Other things by way of announcements, good things for the good of the order. Michael Summerall, if you would bring the microphone to Debbie Gunther, she is just brimmingly ready to tell us about Sabor, Mexican food.
Thank you. Good morning. March's crop fundraiser is Sabor this week, and it's Thursday from 11 to 8. Thank you. I think I have said that Jess Grill did a great by us, giving us a check for $300. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Debbie. Mission, ability to help you support your church by all you have to do is go and eat. We're having a busy morning with some of the sound issues. The service online had a buzz, and we think that either there are wasps in the internet or we have something that's a little bit off balance. So we're working to resolve that. So, you know, don't mind the technicians. Say a prayer for us all as we are in the middle of all of that. Stephanie, do you want to say something about scuba, or you want me to fill in a little? Scuba, Vacation Bible School. How many of you know what VBS is? Vacation Bible School. We do it every year. Wonderful. We do one of the best VBSs of anybody in the world, I think, and we just have a wonderful time. Scuba. How many of you have ever been scuba diving? There's a lot of that in Colorado. I actually did manage to scuba once in a swimming pool, and it was a lot of fun. Found the drain on the pool, and it was pretty exciting. At any rate, scuba coming up, they can use our support. It is a gift to be able to support and to do the scuba for all the kids for that Vacation Bible School. You see the link there online. That's a lot to type in. If you'd like to donate online, send an email to the church. We'll send you the link. You just have to click on it. Make it easy, easy, easy. Other things. Women of Faith, continue as we are about our mission. You see all of that going on. Pia, what are the things do we need to remind them of by way of office and orientation and things like that? Anything on your mind, dear? Okay. What about the rest of you? Any other special announcements here as we're preparing for worship this morning? If not, are you ready to be in worship? Are you ready to begin the week with God first? Let's stand, wave hello to one another, and we'll turn to our call to worship.
All right, you wily kids, let's bring it back together. If you'll join me for the call to worship. Welcome, brothers and sisters in Christ. Please join me in gathering ourselves for worship. Let us dedicate this hour to the honor and glory of God.
And renew our vow to be God's people, to follow where we are led, to be an example to others in following Christ.
We come to make a joyful noise and to listen.
We come to hear the word and to pray as we seek God's guidance. Mostly we pause daily routines to remember and give thanks to our Lord.
Amen.
Let's do the hymn, Lonesome Valley, then we'll do the scripture. Can we switch them?
Switch them.
Call in an audible. Omaha.
If you could. May be seated. If you'll join me in today's scripture, this comes from Jeremiah 31, verse 27 through 34. You guys can find that in the Pew Bible in the Old Testament, page 691. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of humans and the seed of animals. And just as I have watched over them to pluck up and break down, to overthrow, destroy, and bring evil, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days they shall no longer say, the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge, but all shall die for their own sins. The teeth of everyone who eats sour grapes shall be set on edge. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sins no more. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. By way of prayers, you see on the back of the bulletin a couple of the prayers that we have listed there. There are others. We've had some natural events going on. We got just a little bit of snow here at the church. Did any of you get any snow? Merry Christmas. We I seriously, after it all came down, debated whether or not we would be able to dig out. But if you drove in and the parking lot is nice and clear, Richard cleared all that by himself. Actually, he did all the sidewalks and God did the rest. But thank you, and thank you for Richard for your good work and all of that that went on. We do celebrate the water. We are in an arid time and a time when we have been in drought for quite some time, and we are beginning to turn around from that. And all I can say is God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. By way of concerns, though, we do have concerns in our midst. Michael, if you would bring the microphone down to Sandy Tinney. She wanted to lift a note about Ruth Hostetter.
I received a nice visit from Ruth's niece last night, and she informed me that Ruth has been moved to assisted living. It's Eastern Star, and it's at 2535 South Quebec. She's in room 220. Her phone number is 720-476-7318. You don't have to remember all this because I put a note on the bulletin board in the parlor. And on March 30th, which will be her 88th birthday, her niece is giving her birthday party at 2 o'clock.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Everyone's invited.
What did she say? I didn't get that. Alec has a concern.
Yeah, today I wanted to lift a prayer for a close family friend, Susan Steinman. She just found out she's suffering from late stage cancer. She's a hospice nurse and a children's author and a really good person. So if you could keep her in your thoughts.
Tell her first name again.
Susan.
Thank you, Alex. Prayers for Susan. Others, other concerns, as we are in the midst of the people gathered. Debbie Gunther.
I have someone that I worked with at Tri-County that passed away last week. I'd like prayers for Patty Homersham's family, for her husband, Keith.
Okay, prayers for Patty and her husband, Keith, and their family. Holly Armstrong.
Yeah, Wayne asked me to share that his cousin's husband, is that correct?
Yes.
Is sick and is in hospice.
Tell me his first name, Wayne.
Ben.
Ben.
Thank you. All right, prayers and prayers. Paya.
I'd like to ask for prayers for a former coworker who took retirement earlier, I want to say this year, maybe last year. But she continued to suffer and she passed away in her sleep last Saturday. Her name is Lynn.
First name again?
Lynn.
Lynn.
Repew.
Lynn passed away last week.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she survived by her partner, Dave.
Okay. Prayers and prayers. Prayers and prayers. Are Lissy and Neil back in the country, or are they still out of?
They're in Tonga right now.
They're what?
They went to Tonga.
Ah, from Australia to Tonga.
Yes.
Okay, prayers for them as they're journeying about. All right, other concerns. By way of celebrations, any of you gonna lift these celebrations or do I get to do it? Annie Crowder, how old is Annie gonna be, Diana? 89, Annie Crowder, amen. Happy birthday, Annie. I have down here, Joe Burns is having a birthday. Is that true?
Woo!
Joe, did you want to say anything about your birthday? It's been a long time coming. Family of hams, what can I tell you? Happy birthday, Joe. Susan Kinney on Saturday. Want to remember, Ruella had a birthday last Saturday, last Sunday. I forgot it and missed it, and so we want to make sure you all knew that she had her octogenarian birthday. Other birthdays or celebrations. Michael, if you'd give the microphone to Paya.
My grandson, Stephen Paula, turned 7 on Wednesday.
Happy birthday, Stephen. All right. My grandson, Ryer, turned 4 on the 11th, and I didn't announce it. I didn't want to get him too riled up too easily, but prayers for his mother and father. Loving that. Any others? Any other special announcements? Any other wonderful events? How many of you are going to the St. Patrick's Day Parade? I guess actually, since it's going on, you aren't, are you? It was yesterday? Oh, well, never mind. Wear another green. St. Patrick, a religious figure initially, so we celebrate all of that. Any other prayers or concerns? I don't see any. Turn with me in your bulletin or online to the unison prayer. This is from Psalm 51. Let us read responsively. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, Lord, you alone have I sinned. Lord, you desire the truth in the inward being. Guide me to wash myself in your grace and forgiveness, that I may be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation and prayer. Loving Lord God, as you journey with us, we seek to be journeying with Christ 40 days in the wilderness, baptized, anointed, acknowledged, risen out of the waters, and immediately sent into the wilderness. Sent in the wilderness to be tempted, to face his temptations, face those places where he might stumble, face all of the ways where he may fail to be the one that you have led us to, the very Christ. Lord, we have been on that journey. We have sought to journey with Christ in facing all of those things that we place before you. Those things and items that we are tempted to think are more important than you, things that distract us from you, things that separate us from you. We seek, Lord, to explore those within ourselves, to see ways that we can change our journey, our path, and our... We also pause to acknowledge those places where we have failed to speak, failed to live, failed to reach out, fail to be the people that you call us to be, who are agents of your justice in the world. Lord, we ask your presence with us gathered. You know every one of us. You know every hair on our head. You know our coming in, our going out. You are before us and behind us. We are grateful. We are grateful, even if a bit apprehensive, that each of our actions is known to you. Lord, help us live as a people who live in the light, where there is no place for darkness, nothing done in secret, for you know all, care all, love all. And help us, Lord, be those who would follow where Christ has led us on that sacred path, on the path to being your disciples. Lord God, we've lifted special prayers aloud. We have also lifted prayers in private, in silence to you. Thank you for hearing them, for being with us. Help us acknowledge that sometimes when we pray to you, you answer with a no or not now. Lord, be with us. Be with us that we might grow closer to you and that we might share the world with you and that we might join all of our brothers and sisters. As we join our brothers and sisters now in the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite Richard forward for our offertory with Barbara.
Turned it on. Let's try this again. Whoa. Sometimes the load is heavy, and sometimes the road is long, and sometimes, Lord, heart of mine is not so very strong, but thy will be done, Lord, thy will be done. Father, I do ask you to take this cup from me. I only ask your guidance o'er paths I cannot see. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I feel you near me, I feel your guiding power, and know you're standing by me through every passing hour, and thy will be done, Lord.
Thank you. If I can have you all rise with me one more time as we read the second scripture, which comes from John chapter 12, verse 19 through 26. You can find it in the Pew Bible on page 70 of the New Testament. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for their eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servants be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor." The word of the Lord.
All right, we turn to our VBS piece. This is Love, Love, Love. Stephanie, if you come down and lead, Alex is going to do an interpretive dance in the middle of all that. And come on, everybody. Kelly. Rowan, Joey, come on, you guys. Get up here. All right.
You're watching
like the cartwheels there. Good job, guys. The only cartwheels I do these days are tied up behind a horse. There were just a few kids up here, and anybody count? More than three. There's a few. So I asked earlier about this Lenten journey and how everybody was doing. I didn't get much of a response there. But, you know, we're coming to the end of Lent. We're coming up on the tail end of things. We're coming up. Something is about to happen. We're approaching the end here. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It's an interesting passage. Did you pay attention to that when Alec read that out of Jeremiah? It's talking about the covenant that came down off Mount Sinai. You remember that vaguely? Moses goes up on the mountain and he meets with God, and God sends him back down off the mountain with the tablets. And while he was gone, everybody was misbehaving. He was so mad, he threw the tablets down and broke them. Had to get them again. But those tablets, the Sinai covenant, the covenant of God with the people Israel. And here in Jeremiah, the covenant that the people broke. The people have broken that covenant, that agreement. And a covenant is a two-way street. I will do this, you will do this, we will do this, and we were on agreement about this. I had an Old Testament professor, he said that when kings made covenants back in the day, they would put all the food on a table in the middle. And he said they would discuss the covenant, and then they would walk down the table between the food and cut it in half. If you break the covenant, this is what's going to happen. You also are going to be cut in half, divided, because each side has got to come together. You're bound by that covenant. And here, we have failed to be faithful to God. The people have failed. The people of Israel have failed. That covenant broken. And we understand that. There might be a few of you out there who have never had done anything wrong, but for the rest of us, there is temptation, and some of us has succumbed to temptation of distractions, things that have drawn us away from God. It's easy. You know, Jesus went up and was tempted. On his temptation, he was tempted with various things, and the interpretation of what he was tempted, money, fame, longevity, long life, health, all the food you could eat, no worries about the material things of life and power. Tempted by power. Some of those temptations haven't changed a bit, have they? They're all still right there. We can see them, hear them, and there's a new temptation out there that worries me just a little bit. It's a temptation by some people that they've got to make that perfect video that's going to go viral. And they're so focused on it that they'll back off of a cliff. That worries me a little bit, ladies and gentlemen. God grant that it not be me trying to do something. I had that as a bit of levity in what is a serious sort of discussion, a conversation about our temptations. But this is a time in the journey to pause and to say, these are my temptations. These are my weaknesses. I need to steel myself against them. I need to be ready. When that comes forward, I will recognize it and say, no, this is a temptation. I reject this. And out of that, to confess where we have failed in the past. I have failed once or twice, or a few more than that. I won't speak for any of you. That is between us and God. Amen. There is another temptation. There is a temptation for us to hold on to some of the things we've done in the past. We come before God, we are brokenhearted about what we have done. We confess to God, we ask for God's forgiveness. God gives us that forgiveness, and we still carry it. The temptation not to accept God's forgiveness. Think about that. Think about that. Think about your past and some of the things that maybe you wish you hadn't done. And when we are deeply of heart sad for what we have done and turn to God, accept forgiveness. I will make a new covenant, God says. This is not like the old covenant, the one that we broke. So you might be wondering, well, we going to get another set of stone tablets with another Ten Commandments written on them, another set to so that we can have them there? Have you ever wondered why Jesus didn't write anything down? Think about that a moment. We have the Bible. We have the accounts of the gospel artists. But Jesus, we don't have anything from him. He knew the scriptures. He knew how to read. He knew how to write. He was very well educated, but nothing written down from him. I'd love to have the manual. Fortunately, we do. It is written on our hearts. We'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to that point where we can know all of the things that we need to know without having to pull up your reference book. I don't know about you, but I don't know how I used to survive without Google and Wikipedia and the internet to search things out. And now you have to be a little careful because you can find any answer to anything that has nothing to do, you know, it's kind of a wild west out there. But all that will be written that's important will not be written somewhere where it can be argued and retranslated and debated, but it will be written on our hearts. We will know them intrinsically. No need to write them down. No need to try and save them on your smartphone. No need to bone up on them. Been watching Jeopardy. They're in a tournament of champions or something right now. And these guys, there are some tough questions coming out there. And I don't even understand the question sometimes. And these guys are answering them, and they're just, it's amazing to do, and it's amazing. I don't have that kind of memory. I can't even remember what the date is this week when we get up here. Have you noticed? Anybody notice that about me? But I don't have to have an excellent memory. John Wesley said it's a good asset for a preacher. Sorry. But I know a few things, and one of them is what is written on my heart. When will God write them on our hearts? When is this happening? What is it? How many of you remember the marriage in Cana in Galilee? In our scriptures, this first act of Jesus' ministry, he and the disciples go to a wedding in Cana. And it's a nice wedding. Everything's going along. Weddings were a big deal, of course, big party. But at some point, the wine gave out. They ran out of wine. And Jesus' mother said, "They're out of wine." And he responded, "Woman, what do you have to do with me? It is not my time. My time has not yet come." She'd raised him. She knew him. She just said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do." And so he had them bring the water that you use to wash your hands and your feet. The water of purification, big jars, 30-gallon jars. They bring these jars in, and he says, "Take those to the wine steward." And it's the finest wine. And nobody knows what has happened except for the servants. "My time has not yet come," Jesus says. Have you heard some of the other events in Jesus' ministry when something happens and he says, "My time has not yet come. It is not time yet. Tell no one. My time has not come." Remember the Greeks? I read about them a minute ago. The the Greeks come to Philip and Andrew, and they say, we'd like to speak to Jesus. Remember the Greeks? What happened to the Greeks? We don't really hear a clear answer of how Jesus responds. It's typical of how in John, Jesus' responses are much more global than simple. They want to come and see Jesus, and the disciples aren't too sure. Did they come to Philip and Andrew because their names are more Greek than Hebrew? We don't know for sure. But they are Gentiles. They are not of the clan, of the family. And if you're Jewish in that time and age, only the people within your group are allowed. You don't associate with those others. Gentiles and Samaritans, and especially Samaritan women. It's another story, isn't it? But Jesus is beginning to appeal to a lot of people. His ministry has gone viral. He's worldwide. See, the Pharisees said to one another, "You see, we can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. It's out of control. Everyone is in the middle of this." It's an incredible statement. And it's one we need to recognize. The whole world has gone after him. And we have. We have changed. Society has changed from what it was before Jesus. That's a wonderful thing. Amen? So now we come to the passage we heard this morning, the gospel lesson. Jesus said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." No longer it is not time, but now the hour has come. It's time. It is time. This is time. This is what time is it? Well, it's the time for Jesus' glorification, yes, and that's there, and he states that. It's the time for Jesus' death, time for Jesus to offer his life up for us. No greater love has one person for another that they might give their life for them. And Jesus does that for us. No greater love. It is time for the new covenant upon our hearts. "My new commandment to you," he says. The one that's written on our hearts. Well, we sang it this morning with the kids, didn't we? Love one another. Not just the kind of love that's comfortable and with neighbors. Not just the love that's easy with everybody that thinks the way that we do. That kind of love that Jesus had that reached across barriers, reached across genders. That Samaritan woman is an amazing love that Jesus offers to her. "Love one another as I have loved you." This is the fifth Sunday of Lent. We turn this corner and move to Palm Passion Sunday. It is the time. We have been preparing, we've been looking for, we've been introspective when we haven't been distracted. We've been focusing on what our journey is and where it's taking us, and now it is time for us to face Christ, to see where we're going and whose we are. To whom do you belong? To whom indeed? Amen. God of love and God of power, number 578 in the hymnal. Who would like to, Mark, would you help accompany, please? Mark or Rich, please turn on your microphone, come forward. All right. Stand if you will, let's sing.
God of love and God of power, grant us in this burning hour.
grace to us those gifts of thee, daring hearts and spirits free. God of love and God of power, thou hast called us for this hour. We are not the first to be banished by our fears from thee. Give us courage, let us hear heaven's trumpets ringing clear. God of love and God of power, thou hast called us for this hour. All our lives belong to thee. Thou art final loyalty. Slaves are we whene'er we share that devotion anywhere. God of love and God of power, thou hast called us for this hour. God of love and God of power, make us worthy of this hour. Offering lives if it's thy will, keeping free our spirits still. God of love and God of power, thou hast called us for this hour.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you all for raising your voices. God has called us for this hour. This is the time. We are almost through Lent. We are journeying to the cross. Celebrate. Celebrate now for Christ with love. Amen?
Amen.
Join hands if you will. Let's sing our closing.
Go now in peace, go now in peace. May the love of God surround you everywhere, everywhere you may go.
And God's people said,
Amen. Amen.